Welcome to the Redneck Dentist Podcast. I am Doc Mike, host of the podcast. A series of Forrest Gump-like events have brought me to where I am, a small-town country dentist. My experiences in country living, country freedom, country dentistry, and my reaction to pertinent current events will help you live a life of more freedom and less worry. Thank you for choosing the Redneck Dentist Podcast. So let's get to today's freedom-inspiring episode. Hey, this is Doc Mike, Redneck Dentist. Thanks for joining me live here on Real Liberty Media or on podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening in. I appreciate the support. And if you want to join the conversation, come on over to realLibertyMedia.com, get in the chat room, say hello. A lot of great people. Great information in the chat room, and we'd love the company there too. Always like to have new people come in. Unless we don't like you, then we'll chase you out. I'm kidding. Not so much. All right, let's get to it, man. What a great day today. Well, not weather-wise. Man, I'm telling you, even me, who is a native Oregonian, is actually starting to wish I had a little more sunshine and warm weather. It was Monday. I actually was cold. Like, I know it's not freezing or anything, but I was actually kind of cold. You know, we're just in this cycle, man. I know that this cycle is good for, it's good for the garden. It's good for the greenery. You know, it's great for hopefully cutting down on some forest fire activity later in the year, you know, in the height of summer when I'm sure it's going to be dry and, you know, hot and probably east winds, which will blow fires up like crazy here. But, man, we just have not been getting enough sunshine. I mean, literally, it's just enough to keep the plants kind of going, like the gardening project this year. You know, it's just kind of slow because it's kind of day after day of rain and then a couple days of sunshine, which really, I can't complain that much about that part of it. It's perfect. But as far as like personal comfort, yeah, I'd like a little more warmth. I mean, here it is, June 15th, for crying out loud. And it's literally Monday. All day long, I was kind of cold. And by maybe 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I was like, okay, I'm just flat cold. That's all there is to it. I need to actually warm up, you know, actually admit that it's cold and put like a little down vest on or a polar fleece or something. But man, how could I complain? I want to make a little tiny adjustment here. How could I complain when we have, like, across the country, tons of heat? People are suffering already. You know, heat index is high, humidity is high. Hang on one sec. Okay. Wait, I got to get the dog. No. Yeah, we can do a couple seconds of silence. Hang on. Yeah, Mr. Bear doesn't like to miss the show either. He likes to be part of it. He'll probably bark for something. Right, Mr. Bear? All right. Yeah, the rest of the country, I mean, most of the rest of the country is in this horrible heat. You know, some triple-digit temperatures, humidity outrages, sweltering, miserable heat. And here we are in the Pacific Northwest, you know, still cold and rainy. As a matter of fact, today was supposedly going to be clear. Well, yeah, supposedly was supposed to be clear and dry. Well, several times today we had threats of rain. I don't think it's actually rained yet. Well, maybe this morning, early this morning, it probably rained. But, yeah, it was cloudy, and it was cool-ish, not cold. I mean, I went out and mowed the north pasture, which is 2 acres. I only got 2 hours in, so I probably have maybe 2 hours to go. I had to go really slow because we actually have let that grow. We actually planted a protein feed for deer and, well, wild animals, I guess. And so we were letting that grow, maybe get some of those to seed and keep the cycle going. So it was pretty dang tall. And even though I have like a big tractor and, you know, all that stuff, I had to go kind of slow, and I cut it really high. Like I left 6 inches, maybe 8. And anyway, so that was really nice. I'm going to talk about that again in a minute. But, oh yeah, and then you have the flooding in Montana because it's heated up so much. Like the snow is melting so fast, and we had a couple systems that moved through here that actually dumped a bunch of rain and snow over the Rockies, and oh my goodness, 10,000 dead cows in Kansas from the heat. Oh hell, that's horrible. That just came into the chat room. We'll see that. I'll see if I can. Extreme heat and humidity killed thousands of cattle in Kansas this week so far. You know, like we need another freaking God dang it. We are getting hammered in the food supply chain. I don't know how many. I think there were like 96 food storage or supply companies that have burned up in like the last 6 months. That's ridiculous. And now cows are dying. You know, as a matter of fact, I'll be honest with you. Yesterday, when we were kind of looking at the weather, we have our own weather apps. We have our own weather stations. And we were kind of, as a family, kind of looking at the weather. And last night they said it was going to be nice yesterday afternoon. And it was pretty nice yesterday afternoon. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a giant cell forms and starts heading directly over us. And I just looked at my daughter, Crystal, and I said, they're manipulating the weather. I mean, they got to be manipulating the weather. How could this come out of nowhere and, you know, I don't know. And then you look at the rest of the country and everything else that's been going on with threats to food production and food supply coming our way. And here we're killing cattle like crazy. Yeah, I wonder why in Texas. Is that because the humidity isn't so bad in Texas, or is that because, you know, like, there's apparently, like, no dead cattle in Texas, and it's hotter than heck, and, but maybe it's just the humidity or something. Who knows? Who knows? But I just think there's so much, maybe, interference, like, something is going on that is not by accident, that we're getting so many threats, so many additional, like, subtractions from the food chain daily, it seems like. So, you know, it's a good thing to be, like, either growing food or putting your finger on a supply that you can count on and maybe storing up some stuff. It's a good idea. But, yeah, it is. It's insane. And why would we be getting, okay, you know, I know sometimes stuff just doesn't make sense, but why would we be getting like continuous waves of rain and sunshine, almost perfect weather for growing food, and other parts of the country are just getting hammered, man, just one thing after another, taking food off of our tables, basically. I don't know, but it's really starting to make you wonder what kind of stuff, you know, what kind of manipulation is going on. There's some interference going on. You can't have that many food processing plants and storage facilities accidentally burned to the ground. 96 in however many months. And a few shows ago, maybe a month or two ago, I did a show on that whole thing. It was like 50 at that time. And that was in, what, 2 or 3 months? 50 things had burned down or been destroyed by unusual accidents. And if you looked at the 2 years prior, you could hardly find, you know, a few search results that showed that any food processing plants had been destroyed in the years before that. Crazy and kind of scary, I guess, when you think about it. Like, I don't know whom of us is going to survive this. I hope we all do, but I don't see that happening. And it's going to suck. It's really going to suck when people start dropping like these cattle. And that could probably happen. It could probably start happening this week. It could probably start happening this week. If not, I mean, it sure seems to me like it's coming. And I'll tell you guys my own personal experience with this is I kind of went through this whole thing a couple decades ago. Maybe it was in 2008. Maybe it was before that. I don't know. There was some time that I was really kind of stressing out about growing food, you know, providing food and blah, blah, blah. And then it didn't seem like it was that bad. I don't know if that's because of, you know, what I know is hundreds of thousands or millions of people didn't die, which I think that's what we're headed for this cycle. The feds raised interest rates today to slow the inflation and try and prevent a recession, but I just don't think it's gonna, I think it's so out of control right now that, you know, whatever they do is kind of artificially manipulating the market. And why, I guess, it's best to be in a place and in a position that you can just take care of yourself, you know, without freaking government interference. If you're fortunate enough to be able to do that. And, you know, I try and do what I can to encourage people to do something, even a little something. And yeah, one of the people that I talked to, wildfires last year. That's true too. Another comment from the chat. You know, just do a little something. You know, if you find some food that you can either preserve, like through dehydration, freezing, canning, you know, and I'm not talking about extravagant meals. I'm talking about kind of surviving a certain period of time. Yeah. You know, if you can get some of that, some food, a little bit of food, so you don't have to depend on somebody else, I think it's going to be a good thing. You know, the other thing is people are, it's depressing, man, and stressful. I see it and hear it from people that I deal with on a daily basis, patients that come in. Sometimes my staff talks about, you know, well, one, shortages, and number two, the rising cost of everything, you know, any gains that they made in the past, in the past year, kind of, you know, the company had probably, had recognized them for sticking it out through, you know, the last 2 years, and people got raises and stuff. Not only that, but I mean, this company had to step up and pay people because people are leaving like crazy. And, but any gains they have had made is gone. Like that. It's not that the money's gone. It's that the amount of increase they got in pay is wiped out by the cost of everything right now. I don't understand. So we had one, there's one employee who would drive 13 miles to the nearest city, bigger town, I should say. I don't know. There's 50,000 people, and I don't know if you'd call that a city or not. I would call it a city, but then it would make me kind of laugh because it's sort of small. She would drive there to drop her kids off at the daycare, and then drive back here to work. So that's 26 miles, one trip in the morning, and then 26 miles in the evening. And then, gas prices go up so much, and it's not like they're paying these people, a fantastic salary. They're paying them decent salary, competitive salary, but Jesus, just imagine, gas is virtually doubled in cost for her. Luckily, I think she's changed. I don't think she makes that trip every day. Now it's summertime, so I think with school out, I don't know, maybe she'll have to go more. I don't know. But, yeah, people are suffering, and people are stressing out. And I don't blame them a bit, man. It's stressful. Terrifying. For some people. And, not all of them have the ability to even own or be at a piece of property where they could grow food. Actually, and the ones who are living in apartments are actually growing food on their little balcony, just growing, whatever they can, because they're worried also. Tomatoes, I think, and peppers, that's a good combination. Oh, and I just think there's so much more coming at us as far as just the stress. The stress of this whole time period right now. I mentioned Fauci getting COVID. If I didn't, I'm going to mention it now. Because I've heard some really freaking ridiculous things today. Not that I don't hear ridiculous things every day, but today was one of those days where I was constantly laughing at whatever I was listening to. I have these three guys I listen to between 9 and 12, and I think they're normal guys, man. They're just talking about the world as they see it. And I usually put them in my earbud when I'm at work. I turn it down real low so I can hear patients if they're talking to me or staff or whatever. But I like to catch what they're talking about. And, and every 20 minutes or so, they'll go over the news headlines or whatever, and I get to hear what they say. And I think they must be based in Oregon, because a lot of what they say is, let's say some of their focus is on Portland and Oregon and Washington. Hang on, drink time. So I'm going to tell you this, and you can't, you have to imagine that nobody actually thought about this, or that somebody actually thought about this and just did it anyway, because they're just like, hey, you people are so flipping stupid, you're not even going to pay attention to this. So I'm going to run this by you guys. So the news break was, Anthony Fauci gets COVID. And I just start laughing. Number one, I hope so, if there's such a thing as COVID. Number two, the guy who talked about blah, 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 in the beginning, it prevents you from getting COVID, prevents you from spreading COVID, prevents you from, whatever, and getting sick. And here he is. He's got COVID. Now, if anybody believes that he actually got the vaccine, I'm sorry to say he didn't get the vaccine. Nobody in their right mind, with the knowledge they would have in his position about the jab juice, would have voluntarily taken it. So he was double placebo injected and double placebo boosted, and he gets COVID. And then the follow-up to that story was, but there's no threat to the president, (who's also double vaxxed, placebo and double boosted placebo because they haven't been together. Okay, so that's the setup for what you're going to hear next. So as soon, I'm not kidding, the second that story ended, they went to commercial break, and guess what the commercial was? The commercial was how Pfizer was now making vaccines for kids 5 years and under. And I just was laughing my butt off, thinking, how in the hell can you, like, how could anybody take that streak of news story and commercial seriously? And of course, you know, all of these mainstream media sources, even this, which I consider a conservative radio station and conservative people on it, even the news on there, it will say the following news break is sponsored by Pfizer. So even though these guys can be pretty much laying out, you know, their thoughts like I do, and they can be talking about, you know, Fauci and COVID and, you know, inflation and recession and all that stuff, still the damn news break is sponsored by Pfizer. And here they follow up immediately after, you know, the whole Fauci story with, you know, how this vaccine's being approved for children under five. And I'm just like, oh my God, who would actually, please don't let your kids get this freaking stupid jab juice that's going to do no good for them at all. You're not protecting them from anything. They're healthy. They're going to survive it. Let's get on with it and ignore this ridiculousness. It's way beyond old at this point, but what blows me away is that they actually do continue to push this thing. I guess till everybody is vaxxed, right? Until everybody that they could possibly get this juice into gets the juice. And I actually had a story. Let me see if I can find it. Oh, of course I can find it, because I have this new awesome program called Obsidian that I love. Okay, so I'm going to bring up this, This was in the Journal of American Medical Association, which is kind of crazy. Let me make sure. Okay, the CDC study examined the effectiveness of the two-dose Pfizer COVID-19 injection in children 5 to 11 and adolescents 12 to 15 between December 21 and February 22 during the Omicron variant predominance. The authors found that the estimated effectiveness of the Pfizer shot declined significantly in the two groups by the second month after dose two, 29% effective in children and 17% in adolescents. That's freaking horrible. But yeah, run out and get your kids back. Oh my God. Okay, so the next thing that, and I didn't take the time to go find this audio or the story for that matter, other than what I heard, because it was like, okay, I know what they're saying. I just have to, you know, spit it back out. So let me see this. This is, so yeah, breaking news. This was my breaking news of the day. Oregon Public Schools, students now are completely unprotected. Oregon passes no guns, even concealed carry, gun carriers banned from school grounds. I just said, for the love of God and children, get your kids out of Oregon Public Schools. It turns out it's a Portland public school thing. But here's what the moron said who's on this Portland Public School whatever, not board because the board doesn't make laws, but this was actually a law. He said, guns aren't going to make our students safer. What we need to concentrate on is the upstream things that we can actually fix, like mental illness, and we need to train our staff how to react to any situation, including, you know, an active shooter event. And I'm just thinking to myself, you are such a complete moron. And apparently that person said, you know, we can point to studies that show that, you know, this kind of intervention stops school shootings. I'll tell you what stops school shootings is bullets. Bullets stop school shootings. All that other stuff, you know, doesn't. Your kids are not safe in Portland public schools. And now they're even less safe because there was, okay, for, I don't know, 15 years, 17 years, no, not that long. Yeah, like, I don't know, sometime, let's say a decade. Oregon had this policy that every school district could decide on their own whether they would allow guns on school property. And that meant basically people who concealed carry, adults, not necessarily students, but adults, could carry concealed carry at school while schools has students in it, and or not. You know, they could ban that. And only 13% of schools, school districts in Oregon actually took up that banner and prohibited concealed carry on school grounds. Only 13%. So that actually kind of gave me a little bit of hope for Oregon. But not Portland, man. Portland is way too far gone. You know, to believe that, what, they're gonna, what, I mean, how, some of these shootings lately, well, not necessarily lately, but some of these shootings, the people who were the active shooter, they hadn't really let it known before that they had that in them to go and shoot a bunch of children. Yeah, some people can go back and look at some points in those people's lives and say, well, this could have been a warning flag, or that could have been a warning flag, or, well, their parents weren't home. Of course not, because both parents have to work their asses off to be able to pay for stuff so that their kids have nice things, so that they have nice things, so that they have a place to live, so that they can afford food. So yeah, the parents aren't home. And then of course you can get into this whole other arena of the stuff that you're presenting to these children in public schools that's creating a lot of pressure and a lot of stress and a lot of confusion. And as we, as adults all know, at a time when hormones are completely freaking out of control and making you crazy one way or another, and then you try and introduce all this other confusing adult stuff into it, and yeah, we expect the kids to be just like perfectly balanced and unharmed by that, all that information. You know, and this is something else I don't understand. So these teachers constantly talk about not having enough, of course now I understand why, not having enough time to properly teach kids. But God, they sure pack a lot of crap into the curriculum that doesn't really need to be taught to get kids to be effective, productive adults out in the world. You know, do we really need critical race theory and, you know, transgender studies and sexual awareness and I feel sorry for the kids in public schools. I really do. It's got to be like unbelievably difficult to actually just go. Let's say if you were a kid who just had aspirations, and even though I don't think college is the way to go, but if they had aspirations to go on to college, let's say they're really talented. Maybe they're going to create the next, you know, energy efficient whatever, or cure cancer or whatever it is, and they want to go on to college and go on to grad school or whatever. They got to like trod through all this other crap, man, just to get grades good enough to get into college. And of course now colleges are following this whole, what is that freaking, I don't even pay attention, environment, government, and social, and yeah, ESG, environment, social, government. And the colleges are actually starting to look at students to see if, you know, they're going to have enough, a high enough ESG score to get in. So you might be the most brilliant kid, you know, with aspirations of going on and doing something great in your life, whatever it is, but maybe you want to go on to college, and you have to not only, you know, do the academic stuff, but you got to do all this other horse crap and act like you believe it. Because if you don't, those colleges are going to look back at you. Hell, I heard today that in California, there's some whole nother thing they're developing, and there's four letters to it, and it's like DEIA. I don't know what it is, but the community colleges in California are going to make sure that, you know, you abide by these rules. And it's like, well, do you call everybody by the proper pronoun? You know, do you show support for Pride events during the whole month of Pride? You know, and, you know, have you accepted the fact that you're either, you know, privileged or oppressed? So you're either oppressor. Oh, diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility. Thank you, Robert. You are the stud, man. Yeah, California Community College's Chancellor's Office. Diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility. Yeah, and so if you don't do this stuff, you'll be punished for it. Yeah, you'll be punished for it by not proceeding to the next step, whatever that is. You know, probably by not getting your certificate from whatever community college to go into whatever, you know, skilled profession you want to go into. It's a rough life out there, man. And it's not. I mean, that's the thing, is you don't have to do crap to graduate from a high school here in Oregon. I'm not kidding. You don't need to be able to, you don't need to know how to read, write, or do math. I think you just put in a certain amount of time. You don't fail out. The only, and which is kind of crazy, because Oregon has, I think, one of the highest rates of students not graduating from high school. And the standards are so flipping low that, like, if you're still breathing at the end of, you know, at the end of your senior year, boom, you get to graduate. But yeah, it is hard. It just seems, it seems taxing. And I am not a proponent of public schools whatsoever, for several reasons. For the whole safety reason, for the whole education reason, for the whole exposure to stuff that your parents ought to be the ones to expose you to. Yeah, no kidding. No kidding, man. Yeah, and does all that stuff actually prepare you for, you know, going to work, getting a job, and, you know, trying to provide for yourself and a family, if you're going to have a family? I talked, I think, last week about you know, depopulation of the United States and several other countries. So we're already not in a place where we're replacing the population. You know, well, we're not reproducing enough to sustain the population. So we're basically, you know, we're basically doomed anyway. But I mean, you know, like I was saying earlier about these parents who have to work two jobs to just have a decent life. And, you know, they're not even, so you're going to graduate from any of these programs and you're not going to be making enough money to have a family, which is probably part of the plan. Crazy. I was really not expecting to go that deep into that subject, but there it is. That's the way it goes. I wanted to tell you about so I'm going to go back now, give that a little bit of a break, because I want to talk about Narcan and opioid a little bit. But I just wanted to tell you, it was so nice to get out on the tractor today and to mow, because it has been like too wet to take the tractor out and mow. And it was dry enough that I could make several passes. So 2 hours, I probably did, I don't know, 16 circuits. I don't know how many I did. But I mean, I'm probably like between a third and a halfway done with the North Pasture. So, oh, thank you. I will look at it. Thanks. I'm not kidding. It was so nice to be out there outside getting some nice fresh air. Even though it wasn't a beautiful day, it was really nice. And all of the different stuff that's growing up there. So we have clover. We have this rye grass I'm pretty sure it's rye. That was part of what was in the mix. That has this, the seed tuft on it. Well, that's what I think it is. It's like kind of a purplish color. And then Shasta daisies or those white flowers are beautiful. And I don't know, there's some other yellow. It's just so beautiful up there. I kind of hated to cut it down. And I actually was kind of thinking as I was getting, you know, more, you know, closer to the center, I was like, maybe I ought to cut every other pass so that some of this can just stay because it's so nice looking. And the neighbors will put the horses up there. They put them up there a few times. It's just that, you know, last year we kind of demolished it with horses and rain and just a lot of traffic. And so we rebuilt it over the fall, winter, and spring. And now it's just like really lush. Like there is a lot of food up there for horses, for deer, for elk. If the elk would ever wander over here, they're only one hillside away, and I've never seen them over here in 20 years. So, you know, hopefully they'll start smelling this fantastic North Pasture I've planted, and they'll mosey on over, and then we'll whack one and put it in the freezer, and it'll be delicious. Oh, I got to tell you guys this funny story. If any of you were in the chat room last night, you probably saw some of this going on. But Hal Anthony, who has a show on Sundays here on Real Liberty Media, come over and catch him if you can. It's at 3 p.m. Eastern on Sunday, and he is so knowledgeable. But anyway, he was on the chat room yesterday, and I'm not sure if he just came to talk to me or not, but he texted me, got my attention in the chat room. And he was telling me about this plant called comfrey. And I'm not sure the pronunciation. It could be comfrey. It's C-O-M-F-R-E-Y. Comfrey or comfrey or some other pronunciation. But anyway, he was telling me about this guy. And a lot of people have videos on how to make a salve out of it or a poultice. And he said, you know, he was telling me to go watch this video. And I watched the videos and I was like, oh yeah, that sounds good, because this knee injury thing, I think he was telling me it was really good. Okay, comfrey. All right. So he was telling me it was really good and I should look into making this poultice or this salve. And I was like, yeah, we probably have some here. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. But I didn't know that we had any. I mean, that's kind of the funny thing about this whole story is I didn't know if we had any. And then, so I go out and I talk to Crystal and Rochelle, my wife, and I said, hey, do we have comfrey here? And Rochelle yet was like, yeah, we got a whole batch of it, like this whole section of it. I go, really? And she goes, yeah, it's right out here. Holy crap, you guys, I'm not kidding. This patch of comfrey is at least thigh high on me, and there's multiple bushes, like several bushes. And I can't remember what Crystal said she used it for, but once in a while she puts it in the kid's bath. I think it's to, I don't know, maybe to ease either sunburn or poison oak or something. But yeah, sometimes she just puts it in her bath. But anyway, yeah, we have a ton of comfrey. So that's going to be kind of cool. I'm going to make the salve and try that out. Because, of course, we have bees. And I think we're going to be able to get some beeswax from the guy who's managing the bees here. Oh, and they added another box, by the way, which was really kind of cool. So, yeah, it was just kind of funny that I didn't know that we even had it. And here it's a gigantic. Matter of fact, I'm going to post a picture on Imgur. So let me write that down. Picture. On Imgur. Yeah. And I'll show you guys this patch. It was so funny. Oh, good. Well, the bees will love it too. That's awesome. Yeah, I guess there's a lot of uses for it. And actually, it makes a really good fertilizer. You can make a liquid fertilizer out of it because it has bionitros in it, which I'm not 100%. I know it's nitrogen, but it's probably like nitrogen that's like pulled in and made available to other plants. You have to process it a certain way, and it's really a good fertilizer. So Hal was saying he was trying to figure out, or he was working on making the liquid fertilizer out of it. Comfrey will decompose quickly, adding potassium, nitrogen, and trace nutrients that the plant can use as it is becoming established. That's awesome. You know, and so I don't know all of this stuff, but I learn stuff from other people, and then I try and pass it along too. So this is kind of cool that something I didn't even know, and I wasn't even prepared for, like my wife and daughter already had this plant growing purposefully, planted and growing. Like I probably should find out all of the medicinals we have on the property. I know we have some cannabis that's going to be medicinal, and we have some that's higher THC, some that's more CBD, and you know, they know what they're doing. My wife and daughter know what they're doing. So the other day, I probably shouldn't talk about it too much, but let's just say the tomatoes are really healthy. Yes, they are. I know. She is incredibly awesome, Rob Works. That is no kidding. I'm not kidding. I am one of the most blessed men in the world. I'm 100% sure. So anything happens to me, you guys just know I had a great life. Literally every freaking minute. Yeah, it's a crazy good time here. Stuff I don't even know that is going on, and it's all good. So I wanted to, let's see, because I want to make sure I get some other stuff out of the way. Oh, no, this will be good. Now's a good time. So the other day, I'm going to tell you this little story. First of all, I want to say, like, something I'm going to say here isn't exactly accurate. Okay, it could be a complete lie, but let's just say it doesn't really matter that much. I started thinking about, so last week I had a couple patients come in that Well, let's just say you knew 100% through just observation that they were really effed up. And I started thinking about, like, I do a lot of surgery. So, and I mean, like, not just taking teeth out. We remove bone. We shape arches. You know, I've done sinus lifts and sinus repairs before. I've done implants. You know, I've done a ton of stuff as a general dentist that a lot of general dentists don't do. So when I see somebody and kind of look at them more than their health history, yeah, I look at the health history, but you know what? You can look at somebody and kind of get an idea what their health status is, generally. So when I was kind of looking at these two, they weren't at the same time, two different times, but it really kind of hit me that day. You know, we may have to use Narcan one of these days in this clinic. And we have people, you know, this is a little tiny town, like, you know, honestly, there's roughly 3,000 people here. The population says 5,000, and that's from not the last census, but the census before. And that included the 2,500 federal inmates who are included in the population of this town. Why? I don't know, but they are. So really, 2,500 to 3,000 people in this town. And we have, you know, we have homeless people, we have people who use drugs, and we have drug paraphernalia. You know, sometimes we find it in the parking lot, sometimes it's across the street next to the river. You know, we have people walking by the clinic who are so effed up they can barely walk. You know, and you see, like, you know, blood running down their arm where they just shot up and they didn't do such a good job of, like finishing. And I was just thinking, man, this whole Narcan thing, and opioid addiction and fentanyl use is really becoming a thing when you start seeing the effects of it close to home. Now in Oregon, the day before yesterday, I just plugged in a search. I want to see opioid overdose deaths. And I saw some stories, and I was like, okay, whatever. I'll bring it up the day I'm going to do my show, because I'd already kind of decided I was going to talk about this. So this morning, I ran the same search again, and I was shocked that there were, well, at least five new stories of new states who were setting new records for opioid overdose deaths. So I'm going to bring these up kind of one at a time. Kentucky shatters opioid overdose death. Wisconsin's record opioid overdose death record. Overdose skyrocketing in Alabama. Opioid overdose death skyrocketing in Alabama. Montana, 8 opioid overdose deaths in 8 days. And in Oregon, we just have this special kind of recognition as having a 700% increase in opioid overdose deaths, like in the last year, well, since February 2021. I'm going to just read you this. Oregon, and this is not a bad thing, I'm saying. I'm laying it out there because this is kind of important in the long run. Oregon's ballot measure 110 was approved largely due to the population in and around Portland. It went into effect in February of 2021. In a nutshell, if a person is caught with these narcotics, there's a whole list, they either receive a $100 fine or it can be waived if they seek support from a new state-run drug addiction support service. And guess what? They don't even use this They don't even care about the state-run drug addiction support service. They just, if they just don't pay the $100, or they do pay the $100, but it's just like, yeah, screw it, I'm going back. Hey, and I'm going to tell you kind of a frightening story. My daughter told me the story, and that's the only connection I'm going to make here, but it's somebody that she knows very well actually died from an opioid fentanyl overdose. And like, she was dead for, well, everybody says 7 minutes, but I don't know, maybe less, maybe four, but she was dead. When the drug pusher who watched her use couldn't startle her back to life, he used this Narcan. Now, Narcan, naloxone HCL, is a nasal spray that you don't even need to be breathing for this stuff to work. It just penetrates your mucous membranes and it'll work. And what it does is it reverses the effects of opioid overdose. So this person OD'd, died, was brought back 7 minutes. Let's just agree with them. 7 minutes. She was dead 7 minutes and they brought her back. So she kind of snapped out of it, went home, slept it off, woke up, went directly back to the drug pusher to get loaded up again. It's terrifying to me, man. Now, the one thing I was going to say that may not be true, matter of fact, I would say that this is absolutely not true, but I haven't really kind of researched it yet. Like, so some people say you can OD on fentanyl by touching it. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. What I'm hearing a lot is the dosing, the concentration of fentanyl now is so high in these tablets that are coming across the Mexican border that, yeah, it's really dangerous to touch it. I don't know if that's true or not. I think there was a cop video shot some months ago, and I think that's been debunked, that the guy just touched it and he went into cardiac arrest, and the other guy gave him some Narcan and brought him back and blah, blah, blah. Okay, I don't know. Probably a little bit of dramatization there. But I started thinking, like, if I saw somebody die of a opioid overdose, like, would I help them or not? I don't know. Probably I would help them. But how would I help them? Like, if I don't have Narcan, like, then I have to do the whole CPR thing. Not really crazy about that, you know, with somebody who's abusing drugs. And I am not criticizing people for using these drugs. I am not. My whole purpose here talking about this is hopefully to get people to think, hey, maybe you should go get some Narcan and carry it around with you. Because what would happen if somehow I got exposed to, you know, opioids and fentanyl in the office? I mean, something stupid. What if, I don't even know how they make these drugs. I think they grind them up, maybe. I don't know. I know sometimes they shoot it up. But hell, if any of my family somehow got exposed to it or somehow had an opioid overdose from whatever, I would want to have that drug available to give it to them. Or I would want that drug to be available to give it to me if I was somehow accidentally overdosed. I hate opioids personally. I hate generally, yeah, let's just leave it at opioids. I don't like opioids at all. And apparently there's a system in place where you can go, if you go to the Narcan site, I don't know what it's called. I looked it up earlier. I actually printed up, oh, here I have it. I actually printed up the form. Yeah, if you go to Narcan.com, N-A-R-C-A-N.com, Narcan.com, there's a whole little kind of little video, and there's some information there. And it says, you know, download Narcan's caregiver brochure. And then also there's a place where you can download the form to take to the pharmacy. And, you know, the pharmacist will give you Narcan, supposedly. Now, I didn't have much luck with that. Today I went to a couple pharmacies and I said, hey, I'd like to get this Narcan for my home just in case. And the first pharmacy was like, yeah, we don't do that. And I was like, that's weird, because in Oregon, it's pretty much a law. They said anybody can go into any pharmacy and get Narcan. Well, apparently, if you're a dentist driving a nice car and you don't look like you're high or, you know, shooting up or whatever, you can't. Okay, this is maybe for more homeless looking people. So they can have it available, but you can't, you can't, I almost can't say this because it sounds so stupid. You can go to the police station or the fire station and they will give you Narcan. And I mean, like, give you the little thing. It's a container that you hold to the nose and press a plunger and it blasts this mist into the nose. So yeah, you could go see the cops and get your Narcan, or the fire department and get your Narcan, and you're supposed to be able to walk into a pharmacy and get Narcan. And I'm telling you, man, you look at the numbers out there right now, the number of people who are ODing on opioids, it starts to get kind of, you know, the numbers kind of start hitting home. Like, you see Montana, 8 opioid overdose deaths in 8 days. Hell, there's only 1 million people in Montana. Okay, there's more than 1 million people now, maybe. There was 1 million people when I lived there back in, whatever, 96. Or something like that. But there's not a ton of people in Montana. And they had 8. You know, in some of these states, I'm like, God dang, man. What, like, where, how are, you know, and then this is what I deal with. So I have patients that I do surgeries on that I think you need some pain medication. You know, which pain medication would you prefer? Which one doesn't make you sick? You know, and like, I have kind of this it's my personal, like, boundary rule. If I didn't cause the pain, I'm not giving you pain medicine. So if you come to me, you know, and you're in dire straits because your tooth is killing you, well, I'm going to give you some stuff to get you better. But you're going to be taking Motrin, ibuprofen, Tylenol, you know, Aleve. You're going to be taking whatever you can get over the counter, or I'll give you some extra strength, like ibuprofen, 600 or 800 milligrams. But I'm not giving you narcotics, because this is what I see every single day. You know, and the DEA sends you stuff, and the Oregon Dental Association sends you stuff, and the ADA sends you stuff, constantly reminding you about the opioid situation, you know, in the country, about the overdose deaths in the country, about addiction to opioids throughout the country. And then you see it. You know, the funny thing is, I don't know how much time we have left. I know we have a few minutes, because I didn't start. Well, we have a few minutes, one way or the other. The funny thing is, I'll see you guys on Saturday, 9 p.m. Eastern.
Thank you for listening to the Redneck Dentist Podcast. Please show your support for the podcast. This podcast is not on the biggest platforms, but it is on the best free speech platforms. Until next time, remember, all bleeding eventually stops.